Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast slash video on elite trainers. This week, we'll be talking about what's the difference between an elite trainer and everybody else. So, because I get the question, what do I mean by elite trainer? I mean someone that even other trainers will look at and say they're very good. Now, there's also some criteria that goes with that. Some people would rate very good and by different criteria measures. In my case, what I would look at is not only do you teach the information, you also teach it in a way that people can understand it, incorporate it, and use it, and at the same time, make it entertaining so that people are really having a good time as we're doing it. Because as you look at this stuff, as you do it, then it goes even deeper. Because so many times, most trainers get caught up in the information. I go under the assumption that until you're very comfortable with the information, until it's second nature to you, until you don't even have to think about it very much, you probably shouldn't be teaching it. I do know at the same time that the more you teach something, the more you learn it. And it's always been said that if you really want to master a subject, you should teach it. Now, I agree with that, but I would say, when you're teaching something, you should be very comfortable with the information. But so many trainers get caught up in teaching just reteaching the information, especially at the trainer's course. So let's say you're going to teach somebody an NLP course or a hypnosis course, and they basically go almost line by line through the manual, through the criteria that they're going to teach. That, to me, it drives people crazy. I know it drives me crazy, and the people I've talked to drives them crazy. If you have a good grasp of the knowledge, now you're looking at how to teach. How to teach and how to do are two different things. You could be a great, great hypnotist or neurolinguistic programmer. That will not necessarily make you a good trainer. It's kind of like the analogy people use that you can be a great clinical hypnotist, an absolutely fabulous clinical hypnotist. Does not mean you can do stage hypnosis. Right? It's a different skill set. You can be a great stage hypnotist. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll be a good clinical hypnotist. Two different skill sets. Yes, many people can do both, but it's two different skill sets. I think it's the same, if not more so, when it comes to teaching NLP and hypnosis. Because actually teaching it isn't that hard. It's how do you teach it? Do you understand a couple of basic concepts that most trainers never even talk about, like levels of learning? How do people learn? You know, what's the difference between teaching by initiation or teaching by technique or knowledge? You know, do you understand information by initiation? People don't even understand that, so they don't know it. You know, and how do you move up those typical levels of learning from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence to conscious competence to unconscious competence? How can you march people up that? Where can you expect to get them in a training? One of the biggest mistakes I see in the NLP world is they'll be teaching a technique and somebody says, I don't understand. And the trainer will say, it's okay, your subconscious understands. No, not really. No, I beg to differ. Even when I was learning this 35 years ago, I'm like, nah, I don't believe that. That just does not make any sense to me. Because when you understand it consciously and you understand it subconsciously, then it seems to mesh together. The other criteria to measure good training is, are the people able to use the material you teach them, and then can they go and do it? Right? So many people take a trainer's training for a lot of different reasons. Many really don't want to train. They just want the credential, and I understand that. Or they're going to use it in different contexts. They're a hypnotist or an NLPer, and they're going to do demonstrations of hypnosis or NLP at different places. So, but they want that to be able to say, I could teach this, because that adds a level of credibility. I understand that. Well, if you walk into a training where they're not teaching you levels of learning, how to make it fun, how to do the levels of competence, how do you do this? Yeah, you know, you're spending 5 to 7 days of your life and basically wasting your time. You want to go to a training that's all-inclusive, that not only teaches you how to teach the material, but how to teach any material, whether it's a hypnosis course, an NLP course, an EFT course, a sales course, whatever it is, because what I try to do and what I look at is breaking down, how do you learn? First of all, how do adults learn? Adults learn very differently than children. And yet, many people default to, they're going to teach a course of hypnosis or NLP to adults like they're teaching grade school kids or even high school kids. It's a totally different mindset. It's why adults don't put up with what kids might. But yet, if that's your only model of teaching, because no one's shown you how to teach or how to install this information, then it's going to go by the wayside. So what I mean by elite trainer is it fun? Is it fast? Is it effective? Do the people understand it at every level, conscious and subconscious? And so can they get to the level that they should get when they're leaving a training like this, which is conscious competence? They're not going to be unconsciously competent yet. They haven't taught it enough. But once you get to that level, you can begin to do it. And so again, do the people really understand all these levels? And again, you have to make it useful and you have to make it fun. When you look at the trainers that you really, that you find impactful, they taught you information that was good. That's why they're impactful. But they probably, for most people, I would say 80%, there's also a level of fun. There was a level of entertainment. There was a level of like, yeah, I want to do this. I can't wait to get there. Right? And this seems to be true across the board. I remember I was in a training when I was in the military, and there was one of the training sergeants everybody seemed to like. Right? He made it fun. I mean, we're talking about some stuff you needed to know it. It was cool information, but he made it fun. Not that the other trainers didn't know what they were teaching, but it was much more didactic, much more, almost adversarial. And that's another key. If you see a trainer that's very adversarial, let you know something's not going on. Let you know that they're probably not comfortable and competent enough in what they're doing that they can take in opposing viewpoints. So what's different about an elite trainer? Again, they understand the different levels. I remember in the early 1990s, I was blessed after taking a bunch of trainings and trainers training NLP and some other stuff. I had the chance to sit and talk with the Dean of American Hypnotist, Orman McGill. We were sitting, waiting to go into a seminar at a conference. He was teaching. I was getting the pleasure of introducing him. So we just sat down. I didn't know him that well. We sat there and we started talking and this and that. So I was picking his brain. And he made the comment that very few people really understand how to teach hypnosis. They can teach, how to hypnotize somebody. That's not hard. Take a deep breath, close your eyes. Boom. And do a progressive relaxation or Dave Elman. That he goes, but they're not understanding or they're not cognizant of what they need to do to install in the people's heads the attitudes that they have. And he goes, to do that, first of all, you have to be aware of your own attitudes, because you're going to model your primary teacher. So if I'm teaching, people are going to model me. So what are you modeling? If you only have one style that you can teach, if you're very adversarial, if you're like, this is the way we're going to do it, step one, step two, step three, and you never present another model in, let's say, your trainer's training. And so you put to your students, because that's your default thing, is to be very authoritarian. Well, that's the only way they're going to know how to do this. At the same time, and let's say you're very, passive and you're doing it this way, that's all they know. Do you really understand that there's times you may need to be very authoritarian? Step one, step two, step three, step four. And then there's times you want to be kind of, more passive, more like, hey, let's do a collaborative effort. Let's do this. Let's do that. Can you, as the trainer, when you're, let's say you're going to teach a new hypnotist, do you understand that, there's many ways to get the mecca? It's one of the reasons we see the big breaks in our field, where I'm a regressionist or I'm this type of hypnotist because they'll name a school that they went to, or I'm a Xer. That it's like, this is the only way. Well, to me, that means that their trainer wasn't comfortable enough to say, look, there's this, there's this, there's this, there's this, and be able to flip back and forth so that it would be much more fluid, much more flowing. And I know a lot of this goes back to the way they were trained. This is multi-generational. I use the martial arts analogy, as a lot of you know, in my trainings, because I took martial arts many years. I like martial arts. I like the mindset. I like what it stands for. And I love the mystery and magic of it. And much like martial arts, when people go to take a class in martial arts, they're they're already pumped. They're already primed, as we would say, because it's like, oh, I want to learn how to do this or that, or I saw a Bruce Lee movie or whatever. So people are somewhat excited, much like when they come into a hypnosis course, you or an NLP course, they've seen it, they've read it, they've had it done to them. They're excited. We don't, you know, it's not like walking into, you know, calculus 101 because I got to take this class. You know, it's, we've already got that. So what we want to do is take that level of enthusiasm and spin it forward. But again, in the martial arts, if you went through a very rigid school, you know, like there's a Shotokan school like that, JKA Shotokan, it's like, this is it, da, da, da. And then it's going to get passed down. And then even some of the magic and mystery gets lost because they, maybe the trainer didn't know. And if they didn't know when they trained someone else, they didn't know. And when they trained someone else, they didn't know. Now you're six levels deep. And your six levels are removed from whatever the original message was. So much like martial arts, I'm seeing that in the hypnosis world. You know? And so rather than be more inclusive and be more like, you could do this and you could do that, and you can do this, it's become much more segregated. It's like you're in our camp or that camp. You're in this camp or in this camp. And so one of the things, what's different about the way I do a trainer's training is, first of all, I talk about how do people actually learn? What's the best way to install the information that people want to learn? Are you aware of what you're installing in the people? You know, are you even aware that they're going to we call it modeling. They're going to subconsciously pick up your attitudes, your outlooks, your beliefs, and your thought processes, whether you do it consciously or not. And most of the NLP and hypnosis training, which also always shocks me, they don't use hypnosis and NLP from beginning to end in their training to get people to do this. You know, one of the things that made NLP rather popular was we use NLP to teach NLP. You know, I want people to be constantly not just teaching something or doing it, but doing it to the people as they teach them. So to become an elite trainer, you have to look at things at a totally different level. You know, how do people actually learn? What's the best way to do it? When's the time for initiation? When's the time for hands-on practice? When's the time for didactic information? Is there things that you're teaching, taking up classroom time, that honestly, they could read that later? Yeah. You know, and then you could quiz them on it and make sure they did it. You know, much like if you're going to teach a basic hypnosis course and you're going to go over the history of hypnosis, you could hit the highlights in a few, 15, 20 minutes in a class, and you don't have to go through every step, and then you quiz the people on it later to make sure that they understand, you know, all the history of hypnosis and how it flows. And again, are you aware that you're also passing on your biases, your prejudices, and your attitudes? And most of us aren't consciously aware that we're doing it, you know? But all we got to do is look at, you know, families, you know, we have a tendency as we get older to have some of the political and thought processes like our parents or the group we run with, things like that. And then many times what will happen, and this is what I see in the hypnosis and NLP world, it is like, let's say a kid goes away to college, parents are conservative, they go away to college, they can become very liberal, and tree hugger, save the gay whales, all that kind of stuff. Great. And then they come back and they start their career, and it seems like a lot of people will drift back toward their origin, right? I see it in the NLP and the hypnosis world, where someone takes a class, and, you know, and after they got the information, they break from it. They're going to do something different. They've reinvented the wheel. They found nirvana. Or they chase the shiny object syndrome. Ooh, squirrel! And then, you know, they're into NLP today, regression tomorrow, EFT, which is fine. But eventually, it seems like they will regress back to whatever their primary training was. So if they get a good primary trainer who understands this concept and is not afraid to say, look, as you learn these basic skills, let's say hypnosis and NLP, as you learn these basic skills, you know, you're going to expand out and do this other stuff, but you're probably going to come back, and here's how you incorporate it. Well, first of all, to do that, you have to be able to incorporate those other things into you and what you're doing. So if you're training trainers, which is what I'm talking about, they need to understand that. And then also, you need to know, because then this opens you up, because until you get that flashlight into the soul where someone shows you that this is why I do what I do, then you can begin to change. You can begin to change it. And again, we're also teaching the limits of the knowledge that we have. So if you're not always out learning new things, taking different seminars, expanding outside the box, you know, I'm an helper. I've taken a lot of regression courses, you know, Gil Boyne, and of course, you know, hung out with Jerry Kine. I sat through one of his classes, and some of the other people. I've studied it. It's fine. I'm comfortable with it. I've taken I never took EFT. I took TFT, thought field therapy, through Callahan. I've done other things. I'm always trying to stay abreast and bring this information in, right? Because I'm not afraid of new information. I'm not afraid to change my mind when I get information to the contrary. The mark of a strong personality is the ability to change your mind given conflicting information from the old beliefs. And can you install that in the people that you're learning? Yes, that's what we want to do. A good example of one group that does it somewhat well is the medical community. You know, if they went to medical school in the 1970s, their whole wealth of information was much different than the people that went to medical school in the early 2000s. And yet, because of their profession, they have to stay more current because things are changing, you know, with the new drugs and the new techniques and the new everything that's new. Well, they have to stay that. One of the slams I have against our own profession is people in our field if you learned it in this time frame, it's like a snapshot 25 years later. You've not adapted. You've not evolved, you know, and they say evolution or extinction. So are you comfortable enough to teach that and the people you're passing on? Because it depends on your age and the age of the students. If you're training new hypnotists, they may be in this field a lot longer than you are. We're always worried about what's the future of hypnosis. If you're a trainer or you want to become a trainer, the people you're teaching is the future of hypnosis. You better teach them the future you want to see fulfilled. And so what's the difference between an elite trainer and those that not is the understanding at multiple levels, the ability to install this stuff in them and make it fun, make it impactful. Because again, when you look at the trainings you went through that you probably remember the most, there was probably a lot of fun in it. You know, yes, there was insight. Yes, there was knowledge, but there was a lot of fun. You laughed, you had a good time. So we want to do that. You also have to learn how to structure a training. Do you know how to structure a training? One of the things I like is, as people know, I'm into theater. I direct as well as, you know, acted in, you know, way over 100 shows, and I directed a lot. Is when you look at how a play is put together, right? Do you understand, you know, like how you build to a crescendo, and then once it drops, then you build back up, you know, like plays do this, especially musicals. They build up, they drop, they build up, they drop. And then you close the first act, boom. And you come back on a high note for the second act. Do you know how to do that when you're doing your training? Are you aware that, like, as the day goes on and you start getting close to whatever time you're going to knock off for the day, you know, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is that you're doing, do you understand that you need to leave them at a high point so when when they come back the next day, they're excited? Even if, yes, they're at a high point, then even if you're going to do a relaxation, which, again, I don't understand why 90% of the hypnosis and NLP trainers don't end every day with a hypnosis session. That's kind of criminal, but you're still, the actual end of the training should be exciting, should be like, you know, a showstopper, boom. So when you come back the next day, you're up there, you know. Again, to use a sports analogy, when you watch football, the only sport I watch, American football, is they always talk about at the end of the first half, the team that's behind tries to do something good, gives them momentum into the second half. Do you realize that you need to take that mindset into your trainings? So when you close the especially the day, but even like before lunch, if you're not doing lunch together, you're closing, you know. Do you understand how to build all this in? So you're making it flow. Yeah? And are you using this in the ways that you're doing? I always talk about the Bill Clinton technique. I put up a few videos on that. But Bill Clinton was a master at eliciting a response in the audience and anchoring it to himself. I still remember, saw it a couple of different times, but the most impactful was when he was running for re-election in 1996. And you know, he's coming out and he's going to give it was a debate with Bob Dole, and he comes out, of course, he comes out from behind the podium. He doesn't stand behind the podium, right? He's a mover. He's this. When you look at the really good speakers, they seem to do that, you know? Clinton did it. Obama did it. Reagan would move around because it makes it more personal. It steps out. You know, when you're up there behind the podium, there's a barrier between you and the other person. Even just stepping to the side of the podium opens you up. A lot of people don't even realize that maybe there's times you want to step behind the podium if you're going to teach something. And there are times you want to do this. Again, do you know the difference between the future and the past when you're setting this up for your audience? But Bill Clinton, in 1996, when he was running for re-election, you know, he steps up behind the podium and he starts listing things that were true. You know, ladies and gentlemen, America is booming. Good things are happening in Italian. Good things are happening in America right now. You know, peace, prosperity, you know, good things. Anytime he said something good, he actually did this motion a lot, and this motion touched his tie, did this. You know, and then he did this motion where he went, I can't take credit for all the good things that are happening in America right now. And he actually did this, right? If I remember right, which was like subconsciously, if you're eliciting that response, yes, I'm in a good mood. I'm an American. I'm proud of it. Yada, yada. And he, you know, he's bringing it to him. You're stealing some of that, right? So what you want to do is become aware of that. But he did even something more brilliant than afterwards. After he did all this, he goes, I have to give some credit to my esteemed colleague. And he kind of did this. And the way he was pointing, there was Bob Dole in the frame. When the camera pulled back, there's Bob Dole. This is a natural movement. He did all this. And I think my esteemed colleague. And he did that. Then he went and he talked a little bit more. And he goes, but ladies and gentlemen, good things are happening in America. But we still have problems. And then he listed problems. And he's pointing at Bob Dole. It was a brilliant use of illicit anchor, move things around. So since we know this works, you could argue whether it's right, wrong, indifferent, should people do this or not. It works. We should be using it. Do you know how to, you know, whenever there's a good response in your audience, do you anchor it to yourself? Do you touch your whatever? Do you bring something to you? And if something bad happens, you push it away. Do you have fun doing this level of stuff, you know, as well as stage anchoring and all the things that we talk about? So this is the kind of things that an elite trainer begins to think about second nature. Well, first you have to learn it. Very few people actually teach it. You know, they're so busy focusing on the actual information, they lose that it's the technique with the information that makes it so powerful. So, yeah, that's what we do at this upcoming training in November, November 13th through the 17th, 2017, in beautiful Venice, Florida, at the Venezia Hotel. I haven't done this training in a couple years. I don't know when I'll be doing it again. And in fact, this one's a double bonus. It's an NLP training, if you're a master's level in NFNLP. And it's a National Guild of Hypnotist Trainers training, because I'm going to teach you how to teach. Then we're going to spend time on whether it's NLP or hypnosis and how to teach the information. If you know how to teach the information, you could teach the NGH criteria. You could teach our criteria. You could do a sales training. Once you know how to teach, you can teach different things. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. So why now? I haven't done it in a couple of years. I don't know when I'm going to do it again. Life gets in the way. There's other things going on. And so we'll also, at this training, be talking about, I just wrote a new book, The Secret Psychology of Persuasion, that just came out. In fact, I'll be talking about this in the next few weeks. We'll be teaching some of this, which is, you know, the secrets of the people that build cult-like organizations, or, you know, how companies, Apple, Harley-Davidson, certain things have a different type of client. Do you know how to do that? That we're going to spend a day or part of a day just on developing the perfect client for your trainings. And then when you teach, if you want to teach hypnosis or NLP, so that you can take that information when you're teaching new hypnotists, do they know how to go get the perfect client? You know, this I just added in the last couple of years. This is new, because, you know, if you just hang a shingle and you take anybody, you get anybody. What kind of client do you want? You know, what's the perfect demographic of the perfect client? Do you even know? you know, it's changed how I did it. I just did just finished the first part of an NLP life coach course. And I call it No Limit People Life Coach. That's what the NLP stands for on that. Yes, it uses neuro-linguistic programming, but it's to develop no limit people. And I really thought about and designed, what's my perfect demographic? Is people very knowledgeable in NLP? That people that are stuck, that are professionals, that have the information, but they're stuck. They're not making the income they want, or their body's not where they want. They can't drop the weight. And what begins to happen, they feel like a fraud. They have all this information. They go to seminars. They go to conferences. But somehow they feel like a fraud. I've run into this over and over. And I'm like, we could fix this. Let me put together a course to fix it. So I need people that are willing to do the work. Right? I didn't want to just do a life coach where maybe people show up that really don't want to do the work. And guess what? I got there's about 20 people in the class that really want to do the work. And so I put that out. So that's the kind of thing we'll be doing differently. And I'll be showing it's how to build that mindset, which starts flowing with it. So I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank you for sharing with me. And share this video with as many people as you want. If you have a mailing list, please send it out, especially people that want to be trainers. Or if you're a trainer, if you're already a trainer, and you want to review your skills, give us a call. I'm sure we can work out a special deal. If you're an NGH trainer or one of my, NLP trainers or another NLP trainers, or you've taken it somewhere else but you want to incorporate the skills, give us a call. I'm sure we can work something out and get you in there, because it's going to be a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing you. So until next time, Godspeed.